podcast.
Foster Care Fortnight 2021 runs from the 10th to the 23rd of May, and it's the Fostering Network's annual campaign to raise awareness of the transformational power of fostering and celebrate the fostering community. So today I'm talking to Billy and Irene, who are foster parents of 20 years plus, and also to Lorraine Prentice from our social work team, who support foster carers. And this also sits along with the work that's going on for implementing the promise, which came from the review of the care system in Scotland, and really looking at making sure that there are loving relationships available to all children and young people, and that children and young people are listened to, respected and involved in every decision that affected them. So here's Billy and Irene to tell us a bit about their experience of fostering in Argyll and Bute. Hi, and welcome to Lorraine Prentice, and also to Billy and Irene. Billy and Irene are foster carers, and we're here because it's Foster Care Fortnight from the 10th to the 23rd. And maybe just start off with Billy and Irene and how you came to be foster carers.
I've been involved in social work for quite a number of years previous. Also, always had little children around me, whether it was brownies, guides, rainbows or whatever. Went into social work a few years later and worked with children that just needed a wee bit of help, or I should say the parents maybe needed a wee bit of help, but always working with little children. Then there was a wee turning point. I was asked to go into work in school with a child who needed help, and I suddenly enjoyed it. I thought, I could be doing something at home as well. So back to where I was thinking about it, I decided we were going to do shared care. That was our thing we're doing. So when we're doing this in the prep groups for shared care, it's exactly the same thing for fostering. So we decided to go the whole hog and just go into fostering, which we had thought about, but it was sort of like, oh, right, let's do it. So once we started that, and that was 20 years ago.
20 plus years ago, right?
Wow.
So, but at that stage, I always wanted young children, under five. I wanted to be at home with them. That was my... Well, we have two grown-up children who were a great support to us. And then we went to a meeting. Well, I went to a meeting, and it was about fostering a child in Sri Lanka. And I thought, oh, I'm quite interested in that. Came home, and it was going to, you know, I don't mean we had plenty of money, but we had extra money. I thought, we could do this, foster this child. And then I thought, I think it was Billy actually said at the time, what about our own country? And that was it. We decided then we would do our own country and foster the child. So that's how it all came about.
Gosh, 20 plus years. Good on you both. So yeah. For those that don't know, what was involved when you started out? What was the, from when you decided you'd be up for the challenge, what did you go through to qualify as foster carers?
Quite a long process. We've had a lot of assessments and seen how our characters were and all that sort of stuff. There was somebody came over every fortnight for quite a long time, interviewing us, checking that the house was suitable, all that sort of stuff. So we had a lot of hoops to jump through at that point, but it was all worth it.
Yeah, and what if somebody was thinking about doing it, what are the things that you think would convince somebody else to get involved?
It's rewarding. You put me on the spot.
Well, if you feel that you've got the tools and the whoever else to do it, I would recommend it. It's satisfying, as Ian says, and rewarding. You know, you see kids that come to you that have got lots of needs, lots of issues, and over time, with CAPE and everything else, you can sort that out and they become rounder, fuller people and become adults and seem to thrive.
I mean, all our work around children's services is about getting the best start in life for children, the GIRFET, getting it right for every child. And, you know, especially I imagine with working with young people and, you know, the youngest children, you know, that you've described, you know, that's such an important stage that you've been able to give them, you know, love and a stable home and just, you know, a bit of nurturing that makes all the difference.
Yeah. I do think as well, the younger child, you know, you've got them, but they all come with needs, all very different needs. And it's up to us and the very good social work that we have in Argyll and Bute to sort of iron that out and sort of help them along the way. And there is so much resources out there that we can use, and I think it's fantastic what we've actually got. But I do think you actually need a lot of support from family and friends as well, because it can be quite challenging. It can be tiring, but if you've got a huge group of family and friends around you, I think it's one of the best things to do.
And do you link up with other foster carers and share some of that?
We found it quite difficult living here because there was nobody around us. At the beginning there was one or two and we used to have groups, but it wasn't the... We were all quite green to it at that time, you know, I'm talking 20 years ago. But now, and then there was a huge lapse where there was nothing that we could really go to, just because financially going to meetings, staying overnight or whatever was, you know, going on at the time, it wasn't viable to do all these, to do these things. And over a year ago, I think, we started up with a support group via,
it's online, isn't it? Yeah.
That's what it's online. And it's a support group that runs every 2 weeks just now on an evening. And it's absolutely fantastic because something just pops up or you can help somebody else or you can just speak, just even pass over a recipe or something like that. You know, it's not all about the children you've got in the house. It's not all about how you're coping. It's just different questions and different things, and everybody's willing to give their advice or help, or it's just even talking about it sometimes is all you really need. So that is the support group. That way it's just been brilliant for us.
Yeah.
Can I just add a bit to that, right? If that's okay. Yeah. Just to clarify, so Billy and Irene live in a very rural area, as she's describing, and live on one of the islands, and we have a few of our foster carers that do live in rural areas, quite remote, quite distant, and that's the reason why any events that we've had in the past, be they foster carer days where we try to bring them all together face-to-face, or training events, support groups, which are just shorter events, they've been difficult for some of our more remotely living foster carers to come to in person. So the pandemic of last year actually taught us or forced us into setting up some online contact for our fostering family, as we call them. And I think what Irene and Billy are evidence and is that that has been a really good thing to do, and something that we have learned as a fostering service that we will continue to do, because as Irene said, sometimes the evening is the best time of the day for foster carers to be settled and relaxed and calm and to enjoy that opportunity to touch base with families that are doing the same thing as them and to share experiences. And it has, it's grown into a really positive thing that we're glad we set up and we're glad it works so well for foster carers.
Yeah, there's some real positives despite all the challenges we've learned in the last year, haven't they? One's making more use of that technology, and I can really understand what you describe, Irene, that sense of, you don't have to be talking about fostering, but just that sort of shared experience and that talking to people that are living through the same thing, even if you're talking about something else, I imagine can make a lot of difference of just being able to all get together and share some related issues.
Yes.
And I imagine over your 20 years, you know, there have been lots of different circumstances that have involved fostering, because, you know, fostering is often very different circumstances, shorter or longer term. What's been your experience of that?
Well, as I said at the beginning, we only wanted under five, but that changed. Got something to do with that, probably. Anyway, we went for children that were in school, and we've had a few children that under five, and then we went on to having children over that age, and it's sort of gone the right way. We're actually enjoying having these children. We've had children just short term when we had some short term was maybe 3 years, which it does take a long time to get things sorted out and the legal side of things does take forever. You know, it's not always, and they've got to find the right family for this child to move to, because not every child can move to a family that's not suitable. I mean, we've had children here that aren't suitable for us. Mm-hmm. So we're not everybody can just have any child. Permanency has gone through for some as well, and adoption, there's all been different things. Some have gone back home and that, and I think it's lovely to know that there is always that chance that these children moved somewhere where they're going to be well looked after.
And I think, I mean, that's an important point, isn't it? It's finding the right place for each child, and that's not a criticism of a foster family or anything like that. It's about, you know, finding the right fit for everybody. And, you know, I'm sure that's where some of the support comes in from Lorraine and the team for just managing that. I mean, Lorraine, maybe talk a little bit about how that works, because you know, that's something for people to get their heads around. That doesn't mean you're any less of a foster parent. That's all part of the support to make sure it's successful.
Yeah, absolutely. As Irene's evidenced, we are very thorough in the original assessment and the recruitment and assessment process, and don't apologise for being quite intrusive into people's lives, but we are always as sensitive as we can be and explain the significance of knowing their backgrounds, their views, their feelings about things, because we are always got it in the back of our mind that we need to get an idea of them and how they function as a family in a household. Also considering any birth children that they've got and their needs and views on matters, so that when we do find children to go and share their home with them, we've done the best we can to make sure that's going to be a successful arrangement for everybody. Fostering is life-changing, and as far as we can make it, we want to make it a positive experience for everyone. It's really hard when things don't go well, because that has huge impact on everyone emotionally. So if anything we can do beforehand to know as much as we can possibly know, try and get that matching process good and right, is what we're driven to try to do. And we also need to remember to give foster carers permission that if we give them information about a child, because we think this child would fit with their family, but they don't, then not to feel guilty to speak up and say to us, actually, this doesn't feel right for us. And even if they can't quite articulate why it doesn't, that's fine. We'll still listen to them. We're not going to try and press them into taking children where it's not going to work out, because as I've said, that doesn't work for anyone, and that's really hard to do. So we like to know all sorts of information, and then we'll start with some sort of introductions, which might just be sharing a album. Foster carers are great at making up little albums of themselves and their family with pictures, and they'll write little things. And a great thing they do where they've got family pets is they'll put photographs of the pets in their little books, and that can be shared with the child and whoever the child is with at that time. If there's a chance to do all this planning anyway, too often we're having to take children out of situations that aren't safe for them, and so they're going to a family with very little preparation, and there's a bit of stress and anxiety around that about how that's going to work out, and that's where foster carers really come into their own. The more experience they gain in being able to settle a child down, the more value there is in that, because they just make all the difference to a young person who's going through a really difficult, stressful time themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And Billy, and I mean, you've obviously found it rewarding that you've kept going for 20 plus years, but I'm sure that hasn't been without its challenges. And we'd, you know, as Lorraine said, it would be remiss to suggest to people that are maybe thinking about it that there aren't challenges. What's been your experience of that? But clearly not enough to get you to stop. How's the experience been for you?
It's been challenging at times. Some have been very challenging, but with the support we get through it, because like every child's different, and you find the figures that you're not aware of, and it could be something really subtle that you haven't figured out at first, but when you've been trained and you watch out for these little things that set things off or whatever. And I suppose the two of us, like Ari and I, are slightly different. I'm sort of more laid back, and I don't take things right on the nose, maybe, like I feel sort of a bit undermined at times. But it's something we work through, and it can be very difficult, but together I think we're a good team to manage things and support the child, which is the main thing, and, you know, figure out what the triggers are and stuff like that. But, you know, it could be food, it could be a smell, it could be something that was said. It's unbelievable how subtle things can be. And it's the same at school. We work very well with school. We've got good support from the school, and that's been a big help in some of the challenges at times.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say that from the sound of it, you do work as a complementary team with your own different sort of personality types and things, and that must be so important.
I think as well, we both support each other. We never put anybody down, you know, and support. And maybe once a child goes to school or something like that, we've got 5 minutes to ourselves. We sit and discuss, you know, what went wrong last night, what, you know, or let's discuss all this, what, you know, if you talk about what goes on rather than building it up, you can sometimes ease it out and work it out yourself, what's been going on or what's wrong or what's going on in their head as well, because they're living with strangers when they first come as well, you know, they don't know what's going on, they don't know that what we're going to do to them is make them secure. They haven't got that in them at that time. You know, so it's quite a hard balance for them
to get trust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, trust, making them feel safe and opening out, if you like. There's lots of difficulties. Obviously, when they move, come with their baggage or not a lot sometimes, and they've got to go to a new school, new people, new rules. That's what we find if we stick to pretty, well, not strict rules, but house rules, and that seems to help them the transition. You know, they know what the boundaries are, and that seems to be a big help. And safety aspect and things like that all help.
I mean, after 20 years, I suspect you've got your house rules pretty well set up, but did things like that take you a little while to nail down, that just how important those were and then what worked for you?
I think the rules have been the same since from day one.
From our own daughters.
Yeah. You know, and rules are broken and all the rest of it, but we talk about it and tell them why. I think the thing that most children that come into care don't seem to realise that we care for them. We want them to be safe. We want them to trust us. And it's very difficult for them because a lot of them haven't had that before. And for them to feel secure and safe, it's quite hard, and that's why these rules are put in place. You know.
And probably it seems simple, but having meal times at set times, sitting down at the table, discussing the day, all these sort of things, which a lot of them haven't had. It's been food on the run, food at all. So that sort of helps. And you can see maybe when they come first, they either eat a lot or they don't eat a lot, and then it gradually gets to where it sort of stabilises a bit, and you can see they're more relaxed and able to open up a bit.
Yeah, I mean, and that's interesting, and probably, you know, it's probably quite important for people to realise, or something they don't, just, you know, that those simple things like meal times and just how fundamental some of those things can be. And that you've described, it's, you know, essentially it's a team effort beyond you, with the school and with the social work team as well, because our schools are pretty well geared up for how they can support children in these kind of circumstances as well. Sounds like that's been a positive experience you've had with the local school.
We've had a fantastic school, same schools where our daughters went to as well, and it's just been absolutely fantastic. That there's been numerous head teachers in that, but the staffing and the head teachers have all been excellent. They really do take us into consideration, and the child, how different it can be.
Yeah, I mean, Lorraine, that's I think true of the work that's sort of between social work and all the different practitioners in the schools and the parents. It's a team effort from your perspective as well, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's really good that we're picking up on those needs and themes even more so going through this year in our Down Butte Council, and we're doing a lot of joint training on some specific work that relates so well to the children we're talking about here, that trauma-informed practice and different techniques and attitudes, methods and things that we're all going to be learning together over the next few months. We've already started that process, and that is just going to pull those relationships together across children's services, across health education, ourselves in social work, our private sector, our third party volunteer sector as well, all of that, everybody that's around it in a child's world all needs to try to reach the same understanding and cooperate together, work together to effect change, because we know everything we know about what happens to children in early life experiences when they're bad and negative and traumatic for them tells us that we can change that. And I think everybody including our foster carers, are very driven to be part of that team and make that happen. Sometimes the successes that we celebrate the most are things that maybe would go unnoticed in children in more settled environments, but lots of little things like a child being able to make a friend and keep that friend, to trust another person, to actually act out a bit, maybe be cheeky. Sometimes foster carers celebrate a child who's been very guarded, very watchful, being a bit cheeky or not actually doing something when they're asked to do it is the first indication that they're settling and feeling more relaxed. So those things are all for good things to celebrate, because it shows that what the approach being taken is getting positive results and helping that child come to terms with some things that have happened to them beforehand.
And I think that's important to highlight, because I think, you know, those of us that would be lucky enough to have a settled and happy childhood maybe take those things for granted, but to be able to make sure that every child has that, it's you know, it's so important. Is that your experience, Billy and Irene? Is that, you know, have you found real sort of reinforcement from seeing some of those developments in children that you fostered?
Yeah, the children that we've had over the years, well, they've all come with as Billy said earlier on, with a huge baggage, but I'm talking about the baggage of the in their brain and their worries, a baggage of worries, not anything else. Not, and they've all come with that, and to unload some of that off them is a huge thing, and it does make such a difference. And you can actually see, as you've had them for a number of years, how much that baggage has come off, and that they're really looking forward to. And they're making decisions like, oh, well, I'm going to college when next year, or I'm going to college, or I would like to go to university. And these things have been followed through. We've got children gone to university and gone to college. And I think that's one of the important things. You know, they've maybe been struggling in school at some point, but they've come through it. And that's all helped the school. And, well, I think maybe I should see myself as well. But
I think you should, for sure.
I think, you know, they've all moved on, and they've all seen a better life than what they had previous. And I think that's the main thing. I mean, we don't want them all. They don't need to all be hugely academic or anything like that. But if they can do something that they want to do, to me, that's the most important thing. Is what they want and how they see themselves.
I mean, realizing their own potential and whatever their own ambitions are. I mean, that must be one of the most rewarding things, to see them go out and be able to achieve what they're dreaming of.
Yeah, actually, one boy, we had him from when he was 9 up till he left when he was 19, and we were quite lucky. We've got, well, I suppose you could call it a granny flat, which was separate from the house. So when he got to a certain age, we didn't exactly kick him out, but we put him out there to learn life skills, and he survived quite well. Like, obviously, we've managed it well, and he has moved on, and he's gone to college, and he's been doing very well. Obviously, with lockdown and things like that, and the pandemic, it's been challenging. He still seems to be managing to get the results and everything that he's been looking for, so doing business management and all that sort of stuff, he's been doing really well.
I mean, that's great, and what you described there, Billy, that bit beyond maybe what people imagine of you're just youngsters or school age children, but you're getting into those life skills and those transitions into adulthood is just as important to support young people through that. And, you know, that's fantastic that you can give that opportunity.
I think what is really lovely as well, to highlight Pippa, is when children grow up and then they have been able to take those opportunities because they're much more settled, confident in themselves and directed to achieve and aim for things that they want to do. But then you see them just turning back every now and then and still keeping in contact with the foster carers who have been there for them through really hard times. And it is lovely as young adults that they stay in touch. And some, not everybody, they don't have to, but lots of foster carers find that hugely rewarding that they hear from those young adults now as they move on into life. Some of them on into their own lives and their own families, and they come back and show their own children where they grew up or where they stayed for a while, because that's a huge piece of evidence to those foster carers that whatever it was they did, they got something right for that young child, and that's their way of showing their appreciation later in life. So that's a nice thing to remember too.
Yeah, absolutely. And you touched on trauma-informed practice, and Billy, what you described, that to me is trauma-informed practice in action. I'm no social worker clearly, but you know, that being understanding of what can trigger a reaction in a young person because of their past and things is so important, and it's something that I know the team are working a lot on trying to embed in the way that we deliver services. And I do think it's something we'll hear a lot about in the future. And you know, it's clearly something that you've adopted before the buzzwords have kind of really come into our practice. But again, so important, just understanding that it's you know, how experiences can inform reactions to different environments.
Yeah, but every child's obviously different, and it takes a wee while to sort of tune into things that upset them or make them aggressive or not eat or, you know, different things. But we've had a lot of training, which has been really brilliant over the last year. So the understanding of where they're coming from has been very enlightening.
It's an area of work that in the family placement team we're maybe slightly ahead of some of our other colleagues, because that whole approach has been something we've used for some time, but that's, I think, why we're really looking forward to progressing with that across all children's services, so that we'll all be using the same approaches and encouraging the same attitudes towards these children doing this together, because that's only going to benefit the children even more so. So, yeah, some people find it easier than others to adopt it, but we've certainly found across our fostering families that they're enthusiastic and keen to know how to approach some of our most damaged and most challenging children, how to be able to break through their defences in a way that can give them back those what appear to be lost opportunities in life. So, yeah, it's going to be a busy and enjoyable year, I think, all round.
Absolutely. And Billy and Irene, it doesn't sound like you're stopping anytime soon. What would you say to others that are maybe thinking about becoming foster carers?
We've been fostering all these years, but we've had little breaks, and I think that's also helped us. It's recharged our batteries and still made us think, I think we should get another one or another two or three. We've still got lots. We can give lots. We've got lots of care between us. You know, just because we work as a team, Billy and I, it's very much I'm in the house, I'm in the home, but Billy's out and about and does all the play football and hide and seek and all these, you know what I mean? Not that I don't, but we just work together, and I think we've got a lot more to give. We could still, you know, I mean, we've got two very lovely children just now, and we've gone into the older group as well, and it's fascinating. It's lovely. It's really good. We're thoroughly enjoying this and not working with little ones anymore. And I think that's the right, maybe for us at this age in our lives, where we can tackle teenagers. And
yeah, so 12, well, she was 12 on that the other day, I think. You know, so moving on and different ages, and we're enjoying that bit.
Yeah, we enjoy this older group, and they're all lovely. They've all got huge. What was the word I'm looking for?
Negative outlook on life. Probably.
Yes, they're very huge, very negative, and now they're coming along, and it's great to see these children blossom. It's damn hard work, but very rewarding.
It sounds like it, and so you know, I'm picking up there is sort of, it's the teamwork. It's giving yourselves a bit of a break when you can, and really celebrating some of those small things and the rewards it gives, and you know, from what you said earlier, you know, using all the support that's there as well to help you with that you're not on your own.
I mean, it's nice. It's just now they're at school, and it's nice for us to spend time together, as in Billy and I together, and we might go out for lunch or something like that, or meet up with the rest of our family and things like that. So you've got to take that opportunity and look after yourselves. I think that's the important bit as well. You've got to have some me time, or both together as a family, rather than just thinking about these children all the time. You know, our evenings are taken up with children, so we can't go out. We wouldn't go out in the evenings anyway, but it's nice that we can spend some time in the afternoons together.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely important to look after yourself so you can look after the young people as well. And yeah. Lorraine, we're always on the lookout for foster carers, aren't we? So if anyone is interested.
Absolutely, yeah.
I imagine you'd be doing your pitch to get them recruited.
Yes, please. Yeah, we do well in our Gallen Butte. We have what I call a trickle of interest. So we do have some people at the moment undergoing their assessments, and we have had people, our newest foster carers were approved just last month, and we're presenting another family this month. So it's ongoing. We've got a few waiting to come to our preparation days, which are the start of the process, to give everybody an overview of what they're letting themselves in for. And we again are quite hard hitting, because we don't want people to think it's all everything in the garden is going to be rosy. It won't be, as Billy and Irene have evidenced. However, we are there always to support people. Every foster household has a supervising social worker who's there at least monthly, and at times of difficulty much more than that. I know some of the team are almost in daily contact, where people are perhaps having a tough time and they need that level of support. And then when things settle down again, everybody can heave a sigh of relief and settle back to less frequent involvement, but we're always there to do the best we can to support households. We don't want to leave them feeling like they've got to deal with things on their own, because that just would not be acceptable. So yeah, we're particularly keen to know if anybody's got the capacity to come forward for that teenage years, those older children, or taking even younger children initially, but having them stay with them until they can stay in the foster households till their 21st birthday. Now the law with continuing care legislation has made provision for that, and that's a great thing. And also keeping brothers and sisters together, where there's a few children coming from the same household, it's always a worry if we are struggling to find somewhere to keep them together. And we know legislation now, the Scottish Government are really pushing, because they've picked up on the messages from people who have grown up in care settings, that they want to be together with their brothers and sisters. They don't want the crisis with their birth family to mean they are also going to have to grow up separately from brothers and sisters. So we're really keen to hear from anyone who's got capacity to take more than one child.
And how do they get in touch if they're interested in doing that?
On the council website, there's lots of information under fostering. I think it's all alphabetical, isn't it, on their Gallen Butte website. We go under F for fostering. There's an information brochure there that explains who can come forward to foster, what sort of things would need to be available. And really, it's just that they're over 21, or they're 21 and over, and that they've got a spare bedroom. That's basically it. But there's lots more information there and about how things work out, what the process is. Or they could phone somebody from the family placement team. We also have an email inbox. Lots of people email us their inquiries, and there's a form, again, on the Gallen Butte Council website to show how to access that. So,
so we'd encourage anybody thinking about it to get in touch and find a bit more. And Billy and Irene, thank you so much, one, for doing the podcast, but two, for 20 plus years of fostering and all the brilliant outcomes that's going to have meant for children in our Gallen Butte. I mean, that's just fantastic, and long may you continue. So thank you for me and everybody else, because that's just amazing, the contribution you give. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Of all the work that I get involved in, the work with children, especially those who are care experienced, is what touches me the most. And hearing from Billy and Irene and the difference that they can make to a young person's life just gives me goosebumps. I want to thank them and to all our other foster carers and adopters who really make such a difference and transform the lives of young people. And thank you to all of our education and social work teams who support them to make that difference. If you are interested in getting involved in fostering or in adopting, please check out the information at argyle-butte.gov.uk and just select F for fostering, and there'll be lots of information and advice to get you started. Thanks again. Bye.
Pippa's Podcast.